When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
If someone is denied the right to life, well, there's not going to be any other opportunity to exercise any other rights in life. So the right to life comes first, and that's why it's preeminent.
Of course, since that time, the Catholic universities have all become secularized. While the dogma of the Catholic Church has no sway in those institutions, the dogma of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, cannot be questioned.
The Church is the domain of the Word of Christ, and there is no salvation without the pure Word and the sacraments of the Word, and there is no Spirit to be found without these.
But it's not like the cross is an example of God's love. It is God's love. This is God's love. It's not just showing us God's love. It's the love of God manifest.
Organic dairy farmers from northern Germany love listening to Issues Etc.
The Bible definitely has something to say about Christian giving. In the New Testament, we have the Apostle Paul talking about it actually fairly often. He does not reference the Old Testament laws, which there are a lot of those too, about how the Old Testament people of God were to give in many different ways, the tithing laws. So what's the relationship between those two? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Roseborough is going to join us for This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. A little bit later, Dr. Brad Wilcox will join us. We'll be talking about a new Pew report on parents' priorities for their children. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Are Christians bound to the Old Testament Mosaic tithing laws?
The answer is a definitive no. In fact, Paul makes this very clear. I would reference like 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But I would also note that if you were to pay attention to the details of the Mosaic Covenant tithe command, when it comes to funding pastors, and Scripture is clear in 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that it is the Lord's will that those who preach the gospel would make their living by the gospel. That being the case, the Mosaic Covenant tithing laws would be inappropriate then for funding Christian pastors and Christian churches. The reason being is when you read Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting at verse 22, you'll note that the Mosaic Covenant tithe was an actual meal that was eaten in the presence of God, wherever God had the tabernacle or eventually the temple that was set up. And so people would bring with them the first fruits of their grain and their livestock, and if they were traveling from a long distance, they would convert it into money and then purchase those things when they got there. And the tithe legitimately was a meal eaten in the presence of God, and a portion of that meal then was given to the Levites for the support of the work that they were doing as the priests of God in Solomon's temple. But that would be an inappropriate thing for ministry. Instead, Paul makes it very clear that those who make their living by the gospel, you know, are the ones who are preaching it, and that their support is to be given from the congregation. But there is no actual set amount given. And so we are not under compulsion except for the will of God that that those who preach actually earn their living from the gospel. So in the new covenant, we don't have any command to tithe. There is no set amount.
Who is Jerry Savelle?
Jerry Savelle is one of the, I would say, kind of like first generation Word of Faith teachers. He's a contemporary of Kenneth Copeland, good friend of Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, and well known among the Word of Faith televangelist circles as one who travels with those men and teaches the same doctrines that our words create reality and that we tithe in order to get things from God, to get blessings from Him.
So what are we going to hear first from Jerry?
So Jerry Savelle in our cuts today is going to be addressing an issue. And you'll note that these men, any teaching that threatens their bottom line, they go after it hard. But he's going to be trying to take on the topic of whether or not Christians, since we're under grace, if we are bound by the tithe, and if tithing itself or giving is somehow something that then becomes a work that is contrary to the concept of grace. And we're going to listen in several different instances how he's going to twist the scriptures in order to make it appear that Christians are still bound to tithe.
I want to address something tonight that I have been asked about many times over the last few years from a number of pastors, people in the body of Christ. There has been a lot of new teaching on the subject of grace. A lot of Christians have become confused, and some are even deceived. It seems like every time God wants to take us into new revelation, or let's say illumination, it seems someone always tends to go overboard with it. And it has to do with the principle of sowing and reaping. I've heard pastors say that they've been hearing ministers say that tithing and giving and sowing and reaping is performance based. And since it's performance based, then it puts us back under the law. Well, let's just see what the Bible says about it. Some are being told that we don't have to tithe anymore because tithing was under the law. Well, let's just see about that. That we shouldn't be sowing and trying to get something back because that's performance. That's works. And that puts us back under the law, they say. Well, let's just see about that. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Yes. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Now, first of all, was this stated during the law? No, it wasn't. The law had not even been given yet. This was long before the law was given. In fact, Abraham was born 292 years after the flood. Between the death of Abraham and the birth of Moses was another 250 years. Moses entered into his ministry at 80 years. So we're talking about over 600 years later, the law came.
All right. First of all, what problem does he think he's trying to address? And then we'll get to that Genesis 8 passage in a minute.
So the problem he's trying to address is what he believes is a false teaching that those who are saying that because we're under grace, that that means that we should not be tithing for the purpose of getting things back from God. Notice he actually said those words. And he says because that would be performance-based. And so he's trying to make the case that tithing and giving to God in order for the purpose of getting back from God, that's kind of an instrumental bit here. That's a core teaching within the Word of Faith circles, is that you give in order to receive back. You give $100 and God will multiply that and give back to you 100-fold. So he's trying to address that problem because there are preachers out there who are saying, we're not under the Mosaic Covenant, under grace. We are not under compulsion to give a particular amount. And if you're giving in order to get, then that's a performance-based theology. And I would note people who are saying that, pastors who are saying that, they are absolutely correct. If you're giving in order to get back from God, then you are legitimately thinking that you're giving merits from God, blessings and financial increase and things like this. So that's the issue that he's trying to address.
He goes to Genesis 8 to the famous words of God post-flood, where God is promising, I think the context is, promising never to judge the earth by a global flood again. Does that have anything to do with the sowing and harvest that he's talking about?
No, not at all. This is a text that he has ripped out of context and has misappropriated. So let me read it in context. So Genesis 8, verses 20 to 22. Noah built an altar to Yahweh and took some of every clean animal, some of every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when Yahweh smelled the pleasing aroma, Yahweh said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That has zero, it has absolutely nothing to do with giving support to a temple or even to a Christian congregation or for the support of a pastor and things like this. It has nothing to do with it at all. But what he's trying to do is use this text to basically say that there is a principle, a spiritual principle of seed time and harvest, of sowing and reaping, and that what occurs in the natural world then is, if you would, symbolic of what God does in the supernatural world. And the issue here is that this is completely backwards. Let me explain. The Apostle Paul uses language as it relates to sowing and reaping. But he is in no way saying that the person who sows money is going to reap money back from God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says regarding the support of pastoral ministries, the support of those who preach the gospel, says, it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak certainly for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman, listen to the language here, the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? So you'll note the Apostle Paul here is talking about the person who is sowing and reaping is the actual preacher of the gospel, not the one who is financially supporting a pastoral ministry or somebody who's preaching the gospel. So Paul goes on then, he says, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? So in the same way, the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. The whole point here is you're not giving to get, you're giving in order that the person who is preaching and teaching the word may make a living from it, because we see in 1 Corinthians 9:14 that this is an actual command of Christ, that those who preach the gospel should make their living from it. They're the ones who are reaping, not the person who is giving. And so the Word of Faith folks like Jerry Savelle, not only they twist the scriptures, but they've got everything backwards, and they legitimately think that their giving then entitles them, merits them to God giving back to them even more.
We're talking with Pastor Chris Rosebrough, creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. We'll get more of it after the break.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to come out to the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's going to be a blast.
Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee.
I'm going to be giving a presentation called Making the Case Against Cancel Culture, where I talk about how we write comedy and how Christians need to use art and writing and all of that wonderful stuff to fight against cancel culture, and how we have to take a bold stand for the truth using the creative talents that God has given us. It's going to be a great time, and I'm so excited to come out and see everybody, meet everybody, and talk a little bit about how we write satire and use that to communicate God's truth.
You can meet and hear Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in River Forest, Illinois.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Martin Luther tended to view the world through the three estates, the family, the church, and the state. Family provides the fundamental unit of society. In the church, God makes Christians, and in the state, he governs for the good of his people, his church. Well, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ affects our life in all three of these estates, and that's the topic of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. To learn more, visit cph.org/witness or visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod chaplains around the world are preparing Holy Week and Easter services for our military personnel and their families. Find out about the work of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Chris, we have already seen that Jerry has twisted the scriptures on Genesis 8. What do we hear next?
All right, so we're going to hear him basically now making a slogan, if you would, that the that giving is not a debt that he owes, but a seed that is sown, and we'll let him kind of spin this out.
So apparently seed time and harvest is still to be practiced, even in this dispensation called grace. Amen. What about tithing? Did it happen or did it begin under the law? No, it didn't. Abraham practiced tithing long before the law came. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20 says that Abraham gave tithes of all. Gave tithes of all. Yes, tithing was a commandment under the law, but God never intended for New Testament believers under grace to put it aside just because the law was fulfilled. We just go about it with a different attitude today. My spiritual grandfather, Oral Roberts, taught me a long, long time ago that tithing is not a debt that I owe, but a seed that I sow. I have a different attitude about tithing than those who were under the law. It's not a debt I owe. It's a seed I sow. So tithing was not introduced during this dispensation of the law. It was introduced long before that. Yes, it continued during the law, but some are saying it's not necessary for believers today. You know, I like what I heard A.W. Copeland say years ago. Brother Copeland's daddy. He came over to my office one day and he said, Jerry, you know, if I woke up in the morning and found out that God doesn't exist, Jesus is not really Lord, and the Word doesn't work, I'd keep living this way because it works. I thought that was brilliant. I'm going to keep on tithing because it works. Would anybody else agree with me?
First of all, what does he mean when he says it works?
Again, he is legitimately teaching a doctrine whereby the reason why you give to God is so that you can receive back multiples of, you know, 10, 30, 100 fold or whatever from God. And so when he says it works, he's saying that this is a principle. You give to God and God's going to multiply it and give it right back to you. It is for them a method of wealth generation. I wish I was making that up, but that legitimately at its core is what this is. And I would note here that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, specifically verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." When it comes to Christian giving, we are not under compulsion to give 10%, 7%, 4%, 3%, 5%. We are to give what we have decided in our heart. That means it's up to us what we want to contribute. And this doctrine of theirs, and you'll note that there's a correlative doctrine within evangelicalism that also believes that Christians are required to literally give 10% off the gross of what they earn, that these doctrines are not for the New Covenant believers. We are not under a specific command to give a specific amount. And as a result of it, whether you're giving to get or you're giving because you believe that this is an absolute requirement from God, in evangelicalism, they threaten you and say that if you don't give, you know, 10% off the gross, then God's going to send the devourer and he's going to wreck your refrigerator and ruin your dishwasher and punch holes in the tires of your car and cause you to have mechanical problems, all because you're under a curse for not tithing. All of this stuff makes it so that the Christian is then under compulsion to give a specific amount. But again, Paul says that one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, and God loves a cheerful giver. And I would note, in the proper understanding then of New Covenant giving, it does work, but it's not for the purpose of wealth generation for the person giving. It works in fulfilling Christ's command that the one who is preaching the gospel makes his living by the gospel. That's its intended result, not that you would become wealthy or prosperous or anything like this. But you'll note his faith, based on what he said, and this is Copeland's father, "Even if God didn't exist or the Bible's not true, I would still be tithing because it works." In other words, their faith is in this idea that when I give, I merit back from God or the universe or the spiritual realm or something like that, blessings that are supposed to be super abundant. But again, this is not what the Bible teaches, and this just plays into people's crass, sinful nature and its desire for material things and possessions. At its core, this is a doctrine of greed.
I know what he's trying to say, what he thinks he's saying, but it's ironic that when he says it works, because sure, it works for Jerry Savelle, and sure, it works for Kenneth Copeland. They've become incredibly wealthy men, convincing people that you invest 10% and then God will increase your wealth, when in most cases, it just increases Jerry Savelle's. Well,
right. You'll note that men like Jerry Savelle and Ken Copeland and others, they jet around the country in private jets. And so what they've basically set up is a spiritual version of a Ponzi scheme. They're at the top of the pyramid, and everybody's job is to make sure that they're contributing their money, which then filters all the way up to the top. But nobody else ever gets to the top, and all of this is based on a pipe dream. You give, and God's going to give back to you. So you demonstrate to God how much faith you have by writing Jerry Savelle or Ken Copeland or Jesse Duplantis a large check, and that'll prove to God just how serious you are. And then all of a sudden, this principle of seed time and harvest will come into effect, and you'll reap a financial harvest like you never believe. But the thing is that it never works that way, because God is not bound to fulfill promises that these men are making on his behalf, because God hasn't promised that. That's not the purpose of how financial giving works in the churches. The purpose of financial giving within the church is for the support of the gospel.
I mean, I would simply note that Jerry Savelle is reported to have a net worth of $102 million. So it's been working for a lot of years.
Yeah, I am still working on my first million, and I'm nowhere close.
Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. After the break, we'll find out how Jerry Savelle twists Hebrews chapter 8. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Are you tired of those who change their Christian confession because they are ashamed of what they are called to believe in today's world? Scripture is clear on issues which many would like to claim are cultural but have no place in God's church. We at St. John Lutheran, Clintonville, Wisconsin, are not embarrassed to boldly confess that Scripture is God's revelation of His Christ our Savior, the only peace, comfort, and hope in our fallen world. It is why we gather each week to receive Him who comes to us in word and sacrament. For church information, visit the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for His sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it. And we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Friday, March the 31st. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseboro. We're talking about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. What are we in for in this last cut from Jerry Savelle?
This next Bible twist is, I don't have any way of describing it other than satanic. He's going to take Christ's priesthood, in the order of Melchizedek, And he's going to add information to the book of Hebrews that isn't there and try to draw a parallel between the Levites of the Mosaic covenant and their priesthood and the things that they did, and then fill in the gaps to basically make the claim that Christ is as our high priest offering our tithes to God.
God never intended for New Testament believers under grace to put this powerful principle aside just because the law has been fulfilled. Now, under the law, tithes and offerings were given to the high priest, who in turn offered them to God. Who's our high priest today? Jesus. Well, listen to this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's look at verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Now, in order to know what he's referring to here, you're going to have to go back and read a few chapters before this, particularly chapter 7. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man, speaking of Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. Now let me read that from the Amplified Version. For every high priest is appointed to offer up gifts and sacrifices. So it is essential for this high priest, speaking of Jesus, to have some offering to make also. The Message translation says, the assigned task of a high priest is to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and it's no different with the priesthood of Jesus. And notice this says that just like the high priest under the law, it is essential that this high priest have some offering to make also. Once again, the Message translation. The assigned task of a high priest is to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and it's no different with the priesthood of Jesus. The high priest under the law presented the tithes and offerings to God. Our high priest, under grace, still offers our tithes and offerings to our Heavenly Father, to our God. Hallelujah.
All right. What did he do there?
That's what we call a theological fast one. That's like a shell and pea game. Yeah, this one was really bad. You'll note he kept switching back and forth between translations and then a commentary that he was reading from some, you know, the Amplified Version. And as a result of it, he was blurring things very, very badly. So when we look at Hebrews 8, let's take a look at it, and then we'll fill out the context of it. It says, the point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. Every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also have something to offer. So, yes, it's true that Christ needs to have something to offer, but the text in its context will tell us what he's offering. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown on the mountain. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant that he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Now, the author then of Hebrews goes on to kind of go into detail talking about how the Mosaic covenant has really been fulfilled and come to an end and brought to nothing. But in Hebrews 9, which is still an extension of this teaching, verse 23, it says, thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood that is not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. In other words, the thing that Christ offered is not your tithes and my tithes and offered them up to God, nor does he continue to repeatedly do that. Instead, the sacrifice that the thing that God, that Christ is offering up to God, is the sacrifice of his own blood. You'll note that Christ Jesus is not only our high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he himself is the actual sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. So Hebrews 7, 8, and 9 have nothing to do with tithing. What he's doing is eisegeting some of the duties of the Levitical priesthood. And I would note that his understanding of what the Levitical priests say here is sketchy and foggy at best. And then somehow trying to make a parallel that, that basically says, therefore, Christ right now, every time you make a tithe or an offering, Christ himself as our high priest takes your tithes and offerings and offers them up to God as a function of his priesthood. That is not taught in this text at all, nor is it taught in any other text. Instead, the thing that he offered up was himself, and that was once for all.
So he essentially has twisted himself into the position of saying that Jesus, as our intercessor, offers both his sacrifice at the cross and our tithes as a satisfaction to God.
Yes, yes. In the greater context of this teaching by Jerry Savelle, he legitimately says that our tithes merit favor from God. He uses the word merit. And so you'll note then, he's putting our tithes literally next to the sacrifice of Christ's body and blood, and somehow saying that these things merit things from God. And it's stunning when you think about it, but that's what happens when you're twisting the scripture in greed and teaching false words for the purpose of making merchandise of Christ's sheep, because that's what Jerry Savelle has made a career of doing.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Todd.
Issues Etc. is brought to you in part today by Luther Academy. Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth through global conferences and publications like the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, Logia Journal, the works of Kirk Marquardt, and more. For more information on this Confessional Lutheran worldwide mission outreach, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology at the University of Virginia, discussing a new Pew report on parents' priorities for their children. Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. book of the month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutheransforlife.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
O'Fallon, Illinois.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.